This is Pastor Jim Croson for the congregation of the Rock Springs Methodist Church. You may wonder who we are. The answer is a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. We believe that Christ must be at the center of everything we think, say, and do. Our commandment from Him is to love one another. We believe that Scripture guides and informs our faith on a daily basis. We also look to the tradition of Methodism established by John Wesley as he walked his path of reformation and established a denomination based on grace. Our ministry reflects our call to follow Christ through mission, fellowship, study, and worship. You're invited to join us as we move forward in our faith journey. Please visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org or join us in worship 10:30 Sunday mornings at 1515 Eggers Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Croson on Sunday, August 30th, 2020. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. Please join us as we worship together. The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Croson. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. Please join us as we worship together on Sunday, August 9th, 2020.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to worship this morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Good morning, Lord. We come into your presence this morning to worship and to praise you, to give thanks for our many blessings. But we also come to ask that you strengthen your people, sustain us, enable us, and give us the courage to stand against evil. Let your word light our path and guide our footsteps. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Let us prepare our hearts to go before the Lord in prayer. Let us begin in a moment of silence, and let us center our hearts truly before the very throne of our loving and living God. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, we lift our hearts before you. We come to praise you as our God. To come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, your Son. Father, we realize that He sits at your right hand and there intercedes for us. For He has brought us back into our relationship with you, a personal, loving relationship with our God, the Creator of the known universe, the giver of life. What are we that you would be mindful of us? But you are. For your word teaches us that even the number of the hair upon our head are known by you. You are in the details, from our fingerprints to the color of our eyes, to the very things that make us who we are, within and without. So, Father, as we come and we come before you, we come knowing that as we bow our heads and lift our hearts, you incline your ear to God of the universe. Inclines his ear to each and to every one of us. Hallowed be thy name. Father, forgive us our sins. Strengthen us in our faith. Let us be bold but gentle in our witness. Let us share your love, your grace, your mercy, your presence in the world around us. Father, we pray for the unrest that we see. Father, we, even in a small town in Wyoming, can feel the tension in the air. The news media hammers us with it. Social media hammers us with it. Father, help us to not be sucked into the plan of evil. But let us look to you. Let us not be drawn into the plan of division. But let us come together in you for unity. Father, let us not be divided as sheep among the wolves. But let us turn to the Good Shepherd and be safe from the evil that would seek to destroy us. And Father, remind each and every one of us that our enemy isn't of flesh and blood, but of spirits and principalities in high places. Let us not be divided and conquered, separated. Father, guide us. Guide our leaders as we pray for them. Guide our communities as we pray for them. Guide our nation as we pray for it and the nations around the world. Father, we've saw natural disasters befall the Gulf Coast areas. Father, we've saw the fires ravaging the West. We see the pictures of drought and drained reservoirs and drying streams. We hear the reports of children who are missing and reports, literally, Father, of hundreds who have now been found, who had been sold into slavery, kidnapped from their homes and their families. Father, we see evil afoot in the world around us, and only good can overcome it. And you are that good. And we are your servants. So, Father, as we lift our hearts up for so many things, the needs are many, the needs are great. Give us the spirit of prayer warriors, that we would do as the Apostle Paul says, that we would be patient in suffering and persevere in prayer. And let us move past just words on a bended knee to actions in our communities. Father, we pray for sick. We pray for those who are divided. We pray, Father, for those who are in nursing homes, shut-ins in their own homes, for those who are caregivers, who serve our nation, who serve our communities. Father, we lift them all before you and ask that you touch them and that your will be done. And now we'd ask that you hear us as we join our hearts and voices to pray. As you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
A reading from Romans 12, 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, say the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, church. I think it's really important that we as Christians and we as believers in Christ put our scriptures in their proper place for our lives. I think that if we don't do that, then we'll try to make something out of them they're not, or somebody will use them for something they're not made for or got given for. So this book of Romans, along with every single book in the New Testament, I know, I've said this before. For some of you, it's a repeat of Pete's repeat. But for some of you, and some of those who are watching now, it may not be. The whole of the New Testament are letters, epistles, and an apocalyptic letter called Revelation. And they are all written to faith communities. They are all written to a particular faith community. They were distributed and read in other places, but our letter, this letter of Paul, is written to the church at Rome. Now, when I say church, there isn't a denomination. There isn't a brick and mortar, so to speak, church. These are family groups, groups that would come together in people's homes. They'd gather in courtyards. They'd gather in fields. They would gather wherever they could assemble. This was the church. A church, and for my context, if you ever hear me say church, it is talking about us, those who believe in Jesus Christ. That is the church. When I say a denomination, I will say Methodist, I will say Baptist. If I'm referring to a denomination, I'll use it that way. But church. Paul is writing to the believers in Rome, the church in Rome. Please hold on to that. Number one, to believers. Number two, non-believers do not, that's why we call them non-believers, believe any of this. They don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. They don't trust in Christ unto salvation. Therefore, these principles don't apply to them. They're our ruling God. They're that which we hold on to. Paul will actually say, to those who are perishing, the Bible and the Word of God is foolishness, but to those who are being saved, it is life and life everlasting. So please don't think that the world out there, the world outside of Christ, the world outside of the belief in Jesus Christ, is going to play by the same rules we do. Now, at the same time, you need to understand some things. We are, Jesus says, in this world, but once we give our life to Christ, we're not of this world. Our eternal destiny is heaven. Our journey winds up in the presence of Jesus Christ. Our eternal security is heaven bound. We are passing through. Life, have you noticed, is pretty darn temporary. It's as temporary as our youth. It is as temporary as our eyesight. It's as temporary as all of the things. For Christians, we're passing through. Jesus warns us, don't worship the world around you. You're going to get out of here one of these days. What are you going to do about that? He tells the rich young ruler, who's going to build all those new barns? What are you going to do tonight? Your life's required of you. And then what becomes of all that you have? You go out the way you come in, naked and without, with the exception of your faith, church. This is a letter to us. There's one place in it that Paul reaches out of it, but this is to us. Pastor, what's the role of the church? Evangelism. Evangelism has many, many facets. Our greatest commission is to go taking our faith and preach the gospel. Remember the Great Commission? Preach the gospel. Baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all the things I have taught you, making disciples. There's many facets to that. First and foremost is our Christian witness. This sermon's entitled Living Out Our Faith. And the very first thing that Paul starts with is to love. Do you see that in verse 9? Now, I'm going to tell you, 9 through 13, if you got your Bible, put a square around that puppy. Underline that. You need these five verses. I'm thinking Sunday school, I said it was three. my math's not so good early in the morning, and it gets worse later in the evening. So notice what he says. As he begins this, I licked my fingers. I might have COVID now anyway. Let love be genuine. Let love be genuine. Now, what does that mean? It means what it says. It says what it means. Let it be genuine, not fake. I love a car. I love a truck. I love a bus. I love a mud hole. You can love many things out there, but let it be genuine. When you tell somebody you love them, you need to understand that you just committed to, you just put skin in the game. How many of you found out that love cost you something? That's right. How many of you, my kids used to come up to me when they were teenagers, and they'd say, Daddy, I love you. And I would say, I don't know if I can afford it. What do you need? that love's going to cost you. But love always costs you something. But it has to be genuine. Love that is genuine says, okay, I'm going to love you even though you make a mistake. I'm going to love you even if I don't agree with you. And by the way, just so everybody knows, it's okay if you don't agree with somebody. It's okay if we don't agree with somebody. It is okay to disagree. I want one more time. It's okay to disagree. You can still love somebody you disagree with. How many of you have figured that out? You still let that uncle come to family reunions, right? Or that aunt. Or that crazy cousin, They still come around, but you still love them. Love must be genuine, real, not based on hooks, lines, and sinkers, not based on fake, not based on conditions, not attached with strings. If it's got no, ladies and gentlemen, if somebody ever says to you, if you love me, hit the road, because that ain't real. If it ever dangles a carrot, it ain't real. If you love me, this conditional then, isn't it? It's a power play, isn't it? Jesus said while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Not after we got it right. And out of that love, we should respond and believe and accept and live into it. And he doesn't leave us without the power. But let love be genuine. Let it be real. Man, the world needs some real love instead of that I love you, cut your throat behind your back kind of business that sometimes goes on. Let love be real. Hate what is evil. Folks, you need to do that. There is evil in the world. Have you noticed it? We need to hate evil, not the people. Do you hear me? We do not have enemies of flesh and blood, but of evil. Folks, evil is afoot. Somebody said to me, where's all this coming from? I said, the devil, let's give it to him. Let's let him own it. He's having a field day. He's working through good-intended people. I'm sure they feel like they're right. I think they feel like they're justified. It isn't a one. It's evil that is going and having its field day. Because the church, and you're going to hear more about this, has lost its teeth. We've waffled. We've looked more like the world. Instead of an alternative lifestyle that looks like something that they would want to be a part of, we look like them. We'll be back to that. We'll be back. But there's evil in the world, and folks, the only thing that overcomes evil is good. Unless you identify the problem, you'll never fix the problem. It isn't a skin color. It isn't an economic problem. It's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. Evil is having a field day in this country and in the world today. Hold on to what is good. Hold fast. That means get a double hand on it. Have you ever noticed that what is good seems to get away pretty darn quick? Have you ever noticed that? It kind of does, but here's what we've been conditioned to. And we as Christians need to uncondition. We need to stop celebrating all the bad stuff and focusing on what we don't have and start holding on to what is good. You have a choice in your life. You are going to lose loved ones. You're going to lose things in your life. Life is going to turn upside down. You could choose to be disappointed about it, and you can choose to bemoan what you don't have, what you could have had, and what you've lost, or you can turn around and celebrate what you have and what you have had, and you can hold on to it. Instead of bemoaning what you don't have, celebrate what you do have. The world teaches us to look at what we have lost, but I contend that we need to look at what we've got. I've had 5 heart attacks. I got 12 stents, a good flat dozen stents. 30% left of this old ticker. One more and I'm out of here probably, but that's okay because this ain't my home. Don't regret me going. Shed a tear or two, but start to rejoice because I'll be with Jesus. I'll keep an eye on you, by the way. It says we can. But I am not worried about what I've lost. Life changes, doesn't it? I look at what I have. I enjoy my wife. I enjoy Garrett. I enjoy Nicholas. Trinity's off at college, and that's good too. Anyway, you know, it's celebrate what you have. And you'll find more contentment and more peace than focusing on what could have been, should have been, and would have been. Hold on. Why do you think Paul tells them that? Church, we need to celebrate what we've got, and that is Jesus Christ. And we've got each other that which is good. Let's go on a little more. I might not get all of these verses preached, but I'll get enough of them. Love, oh boy, wait a minute. Love one another with mutual affection. Mutual. What, Paul, what do you mean? I've got to go around hugging even ugly people? I just want to hug the pretty ones. And then I thought, as I was combing the three hair I have, they got to hug me too. You know, you don't ever think of yourself as that one, do you, that they have to hug? No, that's always talking about. He's not talking about that. Oh, I love you. Watch out, COVID people. I love you so much. You know, how many of you want a fake hug? How many of you got one of them? And you knew as soon as you got it, it was a little, oh, I just love you, darling, honey, sweetie pie. Let it be mutual. That means I need to understand where you are. I need to understand that if we don't agree, it's still okay. I'm going to love you anyway. Mutual affection. Caring for one. That's what affection is. It's putting yourself later and them first. It's back to chivalry, opening the door for somebody. It is doing something for somebody because you love them. Not because you have to or not to get something, but love in mutual return. Love in mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Humility is the lesson here. Humility is the lesson here. Don't brag about yourself and what you do. Jesus says, don't let the right hand know what the left hand's doing. Jerry Clower said it isn't the whistle that pulls the train. Live in humility. People will notice what you do. And they'll appreciate it a lot more if you don't tell them to. That's the way that works. Humility. Do not lag or be slow in zeal. In other words, quit living like you're dead. It's amazing to me that Christians have the most to be joyous for and they walk around like zombies. It's amazing. We walk around going, oh me, oh my. We watch the news tonight and, oh my, what are we going to do? Hold on to what's good. God's got it. He's got you. He's got them. He's got faith. We're going to get there in just a minute. Humility. Hold on to it. Paul's got good stuff here for the family of faith, for the church. Don't lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Be ardent in spirit. What does that mean? Come on, you can talk. They're listening. Ardent in spirit. Be fired up. Be sure. Be confident in that God is working in you and through you. If He's called you to it, He's already made a way through it. You need to understand that if you are praying, if you're seeking God's will, following God's will, studying God's Word, and all of those things, He has prepared the way for you. And He's prepared you for it. God's not going to call you to it if He hasn't. So live with some confidence. Paul said, Paul will be told later, don't worry about what you're going to say when the time comes. The words will be there. Be confident that God's got it. One of the things that I worry about every Sunday is what's going to happen when I get up here. Carrie will tell you I struggle with it. I went to sleep last night thinking, oh Lord, I don't have a single nugget. And just before I went to sleep, God said, they're not yours anyway. So I got up this morning a little early. He already had the nuggets laid out. You see, he knew what was coming. You just got to go claim it. Sometimes just claim it. We don't have it because we don't ask. We don't find it because we don't ask. He promises us that he'll meet every need if we'll come to him. Serve the Lord. Pew Christians. Do you know what a pew Christian is? Anybody know what a pew Christian is? They're just Christian for an hour on Sunday morning in a pew. That's it. They just get here, get in, get out. They're done. They got the Christian thing done. And pew Christians, whoo, pew-wee, are they bad. They stinketh. They got the last... Do it. Don't just come out. This is, if you will, the pep rally. This is where we come and get kind of recharged, challenged, and encouraged. Then we go out there. We got to be the church. Pew Christians. They don't serve. They don't work. They don't witness. They don't tell. They just go out and judge, find fault, and tear down. You got to live it out. We are to be encouragers of one another. We're to be encouragers and uplifters. Not condemners and tear downs. Not the negative nails and the bad bills. We're to be uplifting each other, living it out, loving one another, living in human affectionate to all of those things he's talked about. Are we? Are we? Just a question. Can't answer it. It'd be inappropriate if I did. Or do we expect the others to do that? That's what we usually do, isn't it? Somebody else will do that. I don't need to help do that. Somebody else will. I really don't have time. Somebody else. How many of you have waited on somebody else to do it and found out it never did get done? That's the way that goes sometimes, isn't it? It's kind of like, well, we'd like to have a youth group down at the church. I wish somebody would do that. You know, we ought to have a singles group down at the church, and somebody ought to get right on that. And we ought to have. But you know, I don't know where they'll get the money, but somebody will come up with it. But they never get off their hip, and they never volunteer to help. But they want all of those things. You got to get involved, folks, if you want it. And most of the time, if you got it on your heart that it should be done, God put it there to get you involved in it. Not to sit back and point your finger and say, you need to do that. Think about it. So now he says, rejoice in hope. That is in Jesus Christ only. And I don't like this next one. Can we skip it? Patient and suffering. How many of you want that one? I don't want it because patience is learned. And that means I've got to go through something to learn something to pass a test. How many of you enjoy tests? How many of us enjoy? I never did like a test. I wasn't afraid of them, but I just didn't like them. I thought they were unfair. Somebody else decides that I have to decide what they've decided is the right thing to tell them, you know? I might have learned something else out of that stuff. I think they're a little unfair. So listen to this. You need to understand, as a Christian, and this is hard, and I know it's hard, there is for a Christian two choices. When you are going through struggles, when you're going through trials or tribulations and difficulties, you got two choices. Get closer to God and he brings you through it, or back away from God and watch it collapse. For the Christian, there's always light at the end of the darkest tunnel, and it's not an oncoming train. There's always hope in the midst of whatever it is, and no matter what it is, God has said, I may not calm the storm, but I won't desert you in it. Whatever you are facing, Turn to God, and God is going to go with you through it. And you'll grow, you'll learn, your faith will grow, and you'll grow stronger in your belief. Or you can decide not to, and it has its consequences. Extend hospitality to strangers. Give to the need of the saints. Here Paul reaches out from the church. He reaches out from the Christian faith community. And he calls that Christian faith community to extend hospitality to strangers. Christian church, believers, we need to extend hospitality. We need to invite them among us. Well, Pastor, I don't know anybody to invite. Then I invite you to get to know some people. I invite you to get out of your shell and your circle. I invite you to enlarge your witness pool. But if you invite somebody to attend your church, you should be there. It really looks a lot better when the people you invited find you there. So that, because they won't be back. I will guarantee you that if you invite somebody to come to church and you're not here, they won't be back. It's 94%. Here's the deal. If you invite somebody and you are here, there's a 60% chance they'll come back again. If you invite somebody, meet them in the parking lot and come in with them, there's a 75% chance they'll come back. If you go get someone and bring them as your guest, there's a 90% chance they'll return. Hospitality. What is hospitality? Going out of your way. Going above and beyond. Not barely doing it. If you are not inviting someone to church, you need to ask yourself, why not? If you aren't willing to invite people to church, examine why not. It's important. It doesn't hurt to invite people. What's the worst thing they can do? I was in high school. I was a skinny, redneck kid. I had a car that I had bought at Sam Frady's junkyard. It was a 67 Ford Falcon. It had been totaled. I had bought the car for $20, and I'd bought a front clip for $25 in the parts. I had put this thing back together with spit, baling wire, and duct tape. Daddy wouldn't help me. He said, it's yours, you fix it. So I did. It didn't have paint anywhere, but it was clean. Nothing matched. It was primer here and there. I'm telling you, six-cylinder straight, six-cylinder car. It was not a teenager's car. You know, Trinity laughs about driving the van, and Big Dick did too. You know, these aren't teenage. How many of you had one of those sporty teenager cars? Yeah, I didn't. It was a Ford Falcon. And I looked around, and there was all these pretty popular girls at school. Any of you guys remember looking around, noticing that? And I got to thinking about those pretty popular girls in school. I studied on it a lot. Teenage boys study on girls a lot. That's just the way that works, you know. And I thought, I'd really like to date some of those girls, but you know, what am I? I'm a redneck, poor boy, got a ratty car. I play football, I play basketball. I did all that stuff, but I wasn't, you know how the cliques go, don't you? You know how the cliques go. So I'm not going to call names because somebody may watch this that knows somebody. So I remember thinking, she was a cheerleader. Oh, my goodness. She was on the basketball team for the girls. She was drop-dead gorgeous in my eyes. So I asked her out. And somebody said, are you going to ask her? I said, yeah. They said, why are you going to ask her? I said, the worst thing she can do is say no. And the second worst thing she could do is say no and slap me in the face. She said yes. You know what I figured out? Those popular girls, people were afraid to ask them out. They were sitting home on Saturday night. They didn't mind my old ratty car. They was just enjoying. So I started asking them out. It was okay. Ask them. The worst thing they do is say, no, I'm not interested. No, I'm not going to do it. But you need to be enthused about it. You need to be okay with it. I had a ratty old car, but I'd tell them we're going to go have a good time. We're going to go down to Don's Drive-In. We're going to get us a foot-long hot dog. We can split it or we can get two. Yeah, we're going to go down and have a good time. We're going to go out to the drive-in movie theater. Yeah, they don't know nothing about that anymore. And we're going to drive through the spots until we find a speaker that works and don't crackle. Anybody else remember that? Yeah, I'm old as dirt. You know, the only thing you can do is find them in a flea market. They use it for retro decorations now. It was this big, you know, and it had a volume button, but it never worked. I never found one. It was just one volume. It's the way it was. Extend hospitality. You catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. Extend hospitality. Within the church, there's going to be disagreements. There's going to be people who get upset with you. Bless those who get upset with you. Bless those who persecute you. Church, this is not talking about a lost world persecuting the church. Do you hear me? This is within the church. Remember, Paul is writing to the church. Paul is writing to the believing community. There is no room for somebody to puff up, run off, and get upset because somebody said something that hurt their feelings a little bit in the church. That's judgmental. Everybody, how many of us made a mistake this week? Anybody besides me? Yeah, we all do. Guess what? They do too. We need to understand that. Bless them. Pray for them. It don't mean to tell them they're okay, but it means to bless them. Pray for them. Bless them. Those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. I need to get this one out there. We live in such a materialistic world today. People focus on the stuff. He who dies with the most toys wins. But the rest of us are jealous that we didn't have them. It's a big piece of the puzzle for us as Christians to not find out what we didn't have. Remember, we talked about a minute ago. But rejoice when somebody else succeeds. When somebody else, if you're driving a ratty old Chevrolet with bungee corded fenders and your buddy gets a brand new Escalade, be happy for them. Don't be jealous of it. When somebody gets a raise down at work and you didn't get one, be happy for them. Rejoice with them. Lift them up. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your perspective. It'll make life a lot better for you than living with regrets and jealousy all the time. Rejoice and then mourn or cry with those who cry. Don't go up to people and say, I know how you feel. You have no idea how somebody else feels. Don't go up and say, I know what you're going through. You have no idea. It's disingenuous. The best thing you can go up to them and say, I'm going to love you. I don't know what it's like. Because you don't. Even if you went through the same thing, you're a different person with a different person, in a different family, in a different situation. It's never the same, is it? Let's be genuine. Yeah, I lost my XYZ, but I don't understand. But I want to love you through it. I'm there for you. I want to be there in presence. I want to be there in person. Weep with them. Don't make fun of those who grieve. Don't make fun of those who have been made. Don't sit back in your self-righteous seat and say, well, they're getting what they deserve. None of us wants to get what we deserve. I think we all want mercy before the throne of God. Don't say, well, if they hadn't made those decisions, we all make mistakes. Don't make fun. You could be there too, you know. One good stock market crash might level the playing field in this country. A lot more than you can imagine. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. There's that humility thing again. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Here's that humility thing. Do not repay evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, we're going to get outside of the church again. We're going to get outside of the faith community. If it is possible, you need to underline that. Sometimes things aren't possible. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Paul's telling us sometimes it ain't possible. Sometimes it's just not possible. But do your part to make it possible. Do your part so that the burden isn't upon you that there isn't peace. For Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth. But sometimes it's not possible. Pastor, what do I do when it's not possible? Jesus said, if you go into a town and you preach the gospel and they don't receive it, they rejected me, dust it off and walk away. If it isn't possible with you, back off. Get away from it. Back off. If somebody's not liking you and they're at odds with you, don't argue with them. Don't fight with them. Just back it off. Just back it off. Remember, the world isn't going to agree with where you are. Live within peace with one another. In closing, I want to, there's more, and I want you to look at that last verse. It's important. We'll go ahead and look at it before I close. And Paul writes in the last verse, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Nice them to death. Hatred never overcomes hatred. Evil never overcomes evil. Vengeance never overcomes pain. The problem is today, we the church, now remember my definition of church, are those who believe in Jesus Christ. We are divided among ourselves. We are divided into the camps of the Baptist and the Methodist and the Catholics and the Independents. We're divided along the lines of denominational and theological. We're divided along the lines that man created, not on the ones that are inspired by Scripture. The problem is we can't even agree as people who profess Jesus Christ on the Word of God being the ruling guide to our faith. We won't argue about how much water it takes to be baptized. We won't say some are getting in, some ain't getting in, some's got it right, some don't have it right. We want to be exclusively, we want to be legalistic, we want to be all of those things. And the body of Christ is divided. And church, that's why we don't have teeth today. That's why we're not changing our culture and the culture's changing us, is we're too busy fighting among ourselves to be reaching out with a message of hope. They look at the church and they see division. They see arguing. They see infighting. They see a bunch of people who claim to be Christian, who claim to follow Jesus, who can't even get along and agree. I find it hard right here in town to get ecumenical stuff that's real to go on. People talk it. It's a different thing to walk it. Plan, 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 but no implementation. But there's really not an expectation to, because after all, we don't agree. Three drops of water, this thing, it's that thing. Church, we need to be centered on the Word of God, not on a denominational standard or denominational doctrinal belief. If it isn't in here, then we shouldn't worry about it. But this is our common ground. It's in Jesus Christ, Son of God, and the very words that His Spirit inspired. This is sufficient. Folks, there's a lot here to get together on, and a lot here to guide us. Living our faith requires love, compassion, humility, and grace, both as we receive it and as we give it. Living our faith means making mistakes, admitting those mistakes, and trying to do better with them. Loving each other, warts and all. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. I want to pray with you today. I know the message has been wide and scattered, kind of like a shooting a shotgun today. But Paul had a lot to say in there. I want to pray today that you'll take this scripture when you get home and read it alone. I want to pray that you will, in silence, without the TV or the radio or all those other things, put your phone away, turn off your computer. I want to pray that you will take these verses and read them. After you've prayed and after you've asked God to lead you in them, that's what I pray today. These verses are so important to who we are in the kingdom of God. And God being able to use us. These verses are who we should be. Our gracious and loving God, please give us the strength to be the Christian, the disciple you're calling us to be. May your Holy Spirit empower us, direct us from living in that little area of doubt, from being a seed that refuses to sprout. May you keep us from being distracted from you. Father, help us to get real in what we believe, to practice that hospitality of inviting people to be a part of something that is unique from the world, a place where they can find love, compassion, and grow in a relationship with you. Father, that means things look different than they are, maybe. But Father, remind us this week of someone to whom we can extend hospitality. To someone that needs to hear about you, your grace, and your mercy, to help them realize what we have shared this morning. Father, may we be yours. May you be ours. And may we serve each other. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now may grace, peace, and mercy go with you and bless you. May we go to be the church into the world to extend hospitality and share the witness of the love and grace of God that is in Christ Jesus. And truly may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.